Globe Realty Company presents Know Your President.
There is a rank to the United States among nations which will be withheld, if not absolutely lost, by the reputation of weakness. If we desire to avoid insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war.
With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us the right, let us finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wound, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and orphan, do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Generation, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny.
Within an hour after I took the oath of office, I announced that the San Francisco conference would proceed. In the memory of those who have made the supreme sacrifice, in the memory of our fallen president, we shall not fail.
We will fight for the freedom of the sea. We will fight for a freedom in the air.
These have been the words and the voices of men who have guided the destinies of a great nation, presidents of the United States of America. How well do you know your presidents? Their lives, their careers, the events of their administrations have and will influence your life and mine. We believe it wise to know your president.
This is the first in a series of broadcasts taking the form of a radio quiz tournament for high schools of southwest Missouri. 16 schools will be represented in this series, each by a team composed of 6 students. These school teams will contest one against the other in a series of 8 elimination broadcasts, and for the honor and award that enables them to move to a higher bracket of contest, and ultimately to the finals, which will be held on January 13, 1951. The winning team of each individual broadcast will be awarded $10 in cash. And in the finals, the runner-up will receive $25, while the victorious team will receive a cash award of $75 and the beautiful United States Presidential Gold Trophy. This series of presidential quiz shows is being presented in connection with the American Broadcasting Company's outstanding air feature, Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. This program is heard over KWTO each Sunday afternoon from 1:30 until 2. Both Mr. President and Know Your Presidents is made possible through the sponsorship of the Globe Realty Company of Springfield. And now speaking for Globe Realty, here is Joe Slattery.
You know, friends, it's nice to leave all the harassing details of buying and selling to experienced personnel. For first-class assistance with your own real estate problems, contact the Globe Realty Company. You know, there's plain comfort in knowing that you've put your real estate problems in the hands of a reliable broker. Globe Realty Company employs courteous, friendly salesmen who are well qualified from years of experience in the real estate field. You can safely rely on them to give special attention to your personal problem. salesman specializing in property evaluation, will give you the free advice desirable when buying or selling. All appraisals are free. And here's something to remember. For dependable, honest-to-goodness service, and for quick return on your investment, call a Globe representative. The Globe Realty Company has a large listing of all kinds of real estate at all times. So next time, contact Globe Realty Company, 2427 College Street, or phone 45561. They give service that gets results. And now may I turn the microphone over to our Know Your President's Quizmaster, Bill Bailey.
Thank you very much, Joe Slattery, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first Know Your President's Quiz broadcast, and a special welcome to the personnel of our two contesting teams this morning. On my right are the six students representing the Mansfield, Missouri High School. We have Lee Binley, Daisy Barton, Phyllis Essery, Luann Brazil, Donna Morris, and Dorothy Mackey. And on my left, the team of Willard, Missouri High School, consisting of Hayden Gaines, Helen Gorman, Jeannie Lee Harville, Nancy Green-Wade, Reba Hall, and Jimmy Stever. I would like to extend to each of you my best wishes for success in today's contest. You know, friends, no nation known to history has had greater cause for pride in her executive rulers than has the United States of America. Almost without exception, these men, selected by the people from their own ranks, have been endowed with those high qualities of mind and heart, those sentiments of virtue, of honor, of manliness, and that unselfish devotion to the public welfare that have not only commanded the respect of the people of our country, but have as well merited and secured the profound admiration of a critical and a skeptical world. Questions of these men, their personal lives, their careers, the events of their administrations, are the questions with which we will concern ourselves during this quiz series. Now, first of all, before we went on the air this morning, our contestants were briefed in the mechanics of this quiz contest. But for the benefit of our listening audience, may we explain. When a question is posed to either team, any individual member of that team may volunteer an answer. 30 seconds will be allowed for each team to answer. But if no answer is given in that time, you will hear a chime, thus. And the judge will provide the correct answer to the question that was asked. An incorrect answer or no answer will be scored as a missed question and the team charged with the same demerit. Now, the sound of the bell indicates a correct answer and an accepted answer, and the sound of the buzzer an incorrect answer or a missed question. Now, from time to time, the judge may enlarge on an answer that has been correctly given, and this should not be interpreted as any degree of demerit for the team, but merely to add interest to the program. Now remember, it's time to know your presidents. First of all, in the format or introduction of our broadcast today, you heard the words and voices of four men who have served this nation as chief executive. I'm going to ask our contesting teams to alternately identify these four past presidents of the United States of America. Now, Mansfield, Missouri, on the musical background of Yankee Doodle, you heard these words. There is a rank due to the United States among nations which will be withheld, if not absolutely lost, by a reputation of weakness. I'll not finish. Do any of you recognize that president? Shall I continue? He also said if we desire to avoid insult, we must be able to repel it. If we desire to secure peace, one of the most powerful instruments of our rising prosperity, it must be known that we are at all times ready for war. What president of the United States said these words? One of you volunteer an answer? All right, will you step to the microphone, please? We have the second contestant on Mansfield's team, Daisy Barton, volunteering an answer.
The Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Mr. Judge?
George Washington, in his fifth annual address delivered to the Senate and the House of Representatives on December the 3rd, 1793.
And so, unfortunately, Mansfield has answered her first question wrong. Now, the teams of Willard High School, next was heard the Conte Glee Club singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and a voice saying, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us finish the work we are in. Must I finish, or do you have an answer volunteered? Do you have an answer, Jimmy? I'll continue. He also said, Let us finish the work we are in to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and for his orphans to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations of the world. All right, we have a volunteer here from our second Willard contestants. This is Helen Gorman. Helen?
I believe the president is Abraham Lincoln.
You are absolutely correct. It was Abraham Lincoln. And, Judge, would you enlarge on the subject there?
That was Abraham Lincoln in his second inaugural address delivered in the city of Washington on March 4th, 1865.
All right, again to our Mansfield contestants. The third, the music was that of America. And you heard a voice declaring that this generation has a rendezvous with destiny. That voice should have been known to most of you. Can you tell me the president who spoke those words? The voice said that this generation has a rendezvous with destiny. It was a very familiar voice to most of us, and I think most of you are old enough to have remembered this president. Do we have a volunteer from Mansfield? All right, we have a volunteer. Our sixth contestant, this is Dorothy Mackey. Will you step to the microphone, Dorothy, and tell us who you think it was? You are 100% correct. Those were the words of Franklin Roosevelt. They were spoken in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All right, and now we have the fourth and last president, and this question is directed to our team from Willard. This voice, speaking before the Congress of the United States, was accepting his responsibility as the nation's chief executive. He stated that within an hour after taking his oath to office, he had ordered that the San Francisco Conference continue. The San Francisco Conference, as you know, led to the formation of the United Nations. Will you volunteer an answer? All right. We have our fourth contestant here, Luann. This is Nancy Greenway. Nancy, step up to the microphone and tell.
That was President Harry Truman.
Harry S. Truman. 100% correct. All right. Now we have identified, and I'm going to tell our contestants that these four questions, I believe, were quite easy. They get harder as we go along. All right. We're back to Mansfield again. And I want you to answer this question. One of the contestants on the Mansfield team, what president of the United States was known as President Icicle, sometimes affectionately referred to as Vinegar Face? I'm going to ask the young man who's on the Mansfield team, step up there, will you, Lee Bindley, and tell us who that was.
That was George Washington.
That was George Washington. All right, thank you very much, Lee. And with the correct answering of that question, we have identified the President of the United States who was the subject of the dramatization heard on last Sunday's Mr. President broadcast over ABC in this question. And as one half of the questions asked on the Saturday morning Know Your President quiz shows are to be in regard to the President dramatized the week before, you know from this point that your questions for a few moments are to be in regard to George Washington, the first President of the United States. And now our question to the team from Willard. What was George Washington's first occupation? All right, let's have the gentleman here on this team answer this. This is Jimmy Stever. Jimmy?
He was a surveyor 16 years old.
The judge says you're 100% correct. All right, now we'll move back to Mansfield again. And I'm going to ask them, whom did George Washington marry? All right, we have our fourth contestant here. And this is Luann Brazil. Luann, would you step up the microphone and tell us, please?
Martha Washington.
Oh, no, wait a minute. She did it. His name, well, her name was Washington until she married George. What was her maiden name? Who was the lady? I'll tell you this to help you. She was a widow lady. What was her name? Her first name was Martha. Does any other member of the team wish to volunteer that last name? All right, let's have our third contestant here. And that is Phyllis Essery. Phyllis, will you tell us her name?
Custis.
Martha Custis. All right. Judge, when did they get married?
Well, they got married in 1759.
That's been a long time ago, hasn't it? All right, now back to our team from Willard. And here is your question on George Washington. And listen closely. In the year of 1774, the First Continental Congress met. What part did George Washington play in this meeting? All right, we have our third contestant here on the Willard team, and that again is Nancy Greenway. Nancy, you wish to volunteer?
Oh, he's the president.
He was the president of the Continental Congress. Is that your answer? I'm very sorry. The judge says wrong. Judge?
George Washington was a delegate from Virginia.
All right. Now, Was George Washington also a delegate to the Second Kent Continental Congress? That question directed to our Mansfield team. Was George Washington also a delegate to the Second Continental Congress? We're waiting for a volunteer answer from our team from Mansfield, Missouri. We have 30 seconds in which to volunteer an answer. It could be answered either yes or no. You ought to take a chance on it. What do you say, Mansfield? Was Washington a delegate to the Second Continental Congress? Volunteer an answer before your 30 seconds is up. We're very sorry. Well, she just got under the deadline. She put her hand up as you hit the bell, and you hit the wrong one, Judge, would you? Let's let her try to answer that, will you? It's the third contestant on Mansfield's team, and that is Phyllis Essery. What do you say, Phyllis?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. All right, that saved you a valuable point there. All right, now back to our team from Willard, and here is their question on George Washington. George Washington was appointed to a very, very important post by the Second Continental Congress. To what post did George Washington was he appointed? All right, our first contestant here on the Willard team, that's Hayden Gaines. Hayden, step up there and tell us, will you please?
He's commander of the armies, or commander-in-chief.
The judge says that's 100% correct. The Second Continental Congress did appoint George Washington commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. Now, again, a question to our team from Mansfield. In 1787, George Washington was called out of retirement. He had earlier resigned his command of the army and retired to private life at Mount Vernon. But in this year of 1787, he was called out of retirement. For what purpose? Why did they call him out of retirement? That question is directed to Mansfield. All right, we have a volunteer here from Mansfield, Dorothy Mackey. Dorothy, you step to the microphone and give us your answer, please. And the judge says you are 100% correct. That is right. He was unanimously called to the president of the Constitutional Convention. Willard, after the ratification of the Constitution, what honor was bestowed upon George Washington? After the ratification of the American Constitution, what honor was bestowed upon George Washington? All right, we have our fifth contestant here in line, and that is Reba Hall. Reba, will you give us the answer?
He became president of the United States.
All right, Judge, do you think that's right? It is right. Incidentally, the judge has gone to sleep over here. He was elected the first president of the United States without a dissenting vote. And now we have reached the halfway point of our morning's quiz, and concluding our questions on George Washington, we pause for a moment to hear from Joe Slattery and our sponsor, Globe Realty.
You know, Globe Realty Company has three mighty nice offices centrally located for your convenience. The Springfield office is managed by Burl Axum, Bob Henry is manager of the Bolivar office, and Mr. Armstrong is the manager of the office at Buffalo. You'll find that each office has courteous, friendly salesmen who are well-trained and who have had years of experience in the real estate field. You can safely rely on them to give you special attention in your own personal problem. And you can feel confident that it'll be carried out with experienced precision. Buying or selling is like any other business. It must be handled by highly specialized people. It's a business that calls for expert training and years of experience. You can be sure that Globe Realty Company will give you just that kind of service, because Globe has been known for many years as the dependable real estate brokers of the Ozarks area. Just call 45561 Globe Springfield office, and a cheerful, experienced Globe representative will be at your service.
Thank you very much, Joe. And friends, you're listening to the first in a series of radio quiz broadcasts presented by Globe and 16 high schools of Southwest Missouri competing for award and honor. Now, this morning, we have the teams representing Mansfield, Missouri High School, and the teams representing Willard, Missouri High School in contest. To our contestants, the following questions are of general concern to the Office of Chief Executive of the United States. And I believe the last question was answered by Willard, so our question goes to Mansfield. And here it is. What financial remuneration is provided for the Office of the President of the United States? In other words, what kind of salaries, what kind of money does the President of the United States receive? I'm pretty sure he gets just a little more than you or I do, but let's see. How much is it? Do you have a volunteer here? All right, we have our young fellow contestant here, Lee Binley of Mansfield, volunteering this answer. Lee, to the microphone, please.
Well, he gets $100,000 regular salary, $50,000 tax, $25,000 tax-free, and then he's money for the expenses for the balls and things like that held current.
Do you wish to repeat that? I'm going to give you an advantage here because you were correct in your first statement and you changed it. Let's go over it again. What does he get in salary?
$100,000.
And his tax-free expense allowance is how much?
$50,000.
All right, and then he has added additional for traveling and so forth. The judge says you're 100% correct. I think that was just merely a slip of the tongue on Lee's part there. He tried to correct himself. All right, now to Willard, Missouri. Listen closely. If by reason of death, resignation, removal from office, inability or failure to qualify, there is neither a president nor vice president to discharge the duties and powers of the office of president, who becomes the nation's chief executive? All right, we have our first hand up. It was our fourth contestant on Willard's team, Nancy Greenway. Nancy?
Speaker of the House.
All right, Mr. Judge. And he signifies that is correct. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, upon his resignation as Speaker and as Representative, acts as President. Now, Mansfield, if at the time when a Speaker is to begin and discharge the duties of office of President, there is no Speaker, or the Speaker fails to qualify as acting president, then who becomes the nation's chief executive? All right, our second contestant there on the Mansfield team, Daisy Barton, has raised her hand, please.
The elected pro tem president of the Senate.
That is right. The president pro tem of the Senate, upon his resignation as president pro tem and as senator, shall act as president. Now, Willard, what religious faith has been embraced by the most presidents of the United States? All right, we'll call on our third contestant there. That is Jeannie Lee Harville. Jeannie? That's all right.
Episcopalian.
And the judge says you're 100% correct. Episcopalian. George Washington, Madison, Monroe, William Henry Harrison, Tyler, Taylor, Pierce, Arthur, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt were all Episcopalians. Now listen closely, Mansfield. What president of the United States was the father of the largest family? All right, it seems like the second hand there was up first, and that is, again, Daisy Barton. Daisy's getting her hand up real quickly here. Who was that?
It would be Tyler. He had 14 children.
Tyler had 14 children. Well, we're, Judge, we're in a quandary there because our research showed us that William Henry Harrison had the most children. I'm going to ask the judge to disregard that question entirely because it is controversial, and we will decide after the broadcast. We will give Mansfield a second question, and we will see who was right. Disregard the question entirely. And Mansfield, here is your other question. What are the three requirements set forth in the Constitution as qualifications for holding the office of President of the United States? And the first hand up was Lee Binley. Lee, step to the microphone and tell us, please.
He must be a natural-born citizen of the United States. He must be 35 years of age and 14 years a resident of the United States.
Lee, you're 100% correct, according to the judge. All right. Now, by way of explanation, so that our audience won't be confused, the question that was asked Mansfield, they had two questions in a row, was controversial. Our research had given a different answer. We do not claim to be always correct. In such cases, we will throw the question out entirely. We will continue our research after the broadcast. The team will not be penalized. All right, Willard, who was the only president of the United States to remain unmarried? All right, I think our hand over here, I'm going to let the gentleman on the end answer that question, Jimmy Stever. Jimmy?
James Buchanan.
All right, and the judge says you're 100% correct. Now, to make it just as easy for Mansfield, what is the official name of the president's home? What is the official name of the president's home? The man who is currently serving, any man who is currently serving in the office of chief executive. All right, our volunteer from Mansfield here is Phyllis Esrey. Phyllis, will you step the microphone?
The White House.
That is right, the White House. And incidentally, this name was designated by Congress at the request of Theodore Roosevelt in the year of 1902.
The building had been painted white since the year of 1817 when it was reconstructed after being burned by the British. All right. Now, here's a little difficult question for Willard. Let's see what they can do with it. I want someone on the Willard team to give me the presidential oath taken at the inauguration to office by a president of the United States. Let's let our fifth contestant there, who is Reba Hall, give us that oath, please.
I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
All right, and that, the judge says, is 100% correct. For the interest and information of our listening audience, custom decrees the use of the word, so help me God, at the end of the oath, but it is not officially a part of the oath. All right, here is the question to Mansfield now. I want to know, does the chief executive of the United States automatically become commander of the nation's military forces? Does the chief executive of the United States automatically become commander of the nation's military forces? That question is directed to the team from Mansfield High School. All right, we have here Donna Morris volunteering an answer.
Yes, he is.
The judge says that's correct. The Constitution provides that the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and the militia of individual states when they have been called into actual service of the United States. Now we have time for just one more question to even things up this morning, and Willard, this is your last question. Does the President of the United States have the powers to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States? All right, and our first hand up was that of Reba Hall again. Reba?
He can pardon any federal offense except impeachment cases.
That is 100% correct. All right, now we have presented an equal number of questions to each of our contesting teams this morning. We're going to pause just a moment while we have our judge add up the score. And I'm going to ask Joe Slattery, who has acted as our judge this morning, to tell us the standing of these teams at this point.
Well, Bill, we'll have to continue this contest after we leave the air because they're tied up now.
A very unusual situation. Here in our first contest, we have a tied contest at this point. In such cases, we will continue contesting after we leave the air until one team has been declared a winner. Now, the announcement of today's winner, therefore, will be made on the broadcast at noon, the 12:30 news. That is for you folks listening in on the air, so that you will know who has won this contest. And now, speaking for Globe Realty Company, here is our good friend, Joe Flatt.
You know, we can profit through experience, but why risk a valuable loss of time when someone else's years of training can assure the results you want with a minimum of effort? The wise person never worries about his real estate problem. Whether interested in buying or selling, it's a pleasanter and safer way just to relax and let a reliable broker handle it for you. Buying or selling real estate is like any other business. It must be handled by highly specialized personnel. It calls for expert training and years of experience. For first-class assistance with your own real estate problems, contact the Globe Realty Company, 2427 College Street, or call 45561. Globe has been known for many years as the dependable real estate brokers of the Ozarks area.
Now, friends, at the end of our broadcast time on this first Know Your President quiz, we found a tie. The contest will continue after we leave the air. The winner of today's contest will be announced on the 12:30 noon news. The winner of today's contest will, on December the 2nd, contest the winner of next Saturday's broadcast between Springfield and Seymour. We invite you to be listening to Know Your Presidents next Saturday at the same time.
You're listening to KWTO. Keep watching the Ozarks, Springfield, Missouri.